The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here. What's up, Javi? You ready, Big Don?
I'm ready, man. Then put the phone away.
You ready, Big Don?
I got caught.
He was taking selfies of his beard.
Phone, you know, gotta check it out.
Welcome to the What Did He Said podcast. First of all, off rip, off top, I hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day. Big shout out to Manscaped.com, making sure all the fellas had a luxurious and smooth Valentine's. Para todas las viejas.
Get the naked mole rat out.
The naked who what?
The naked mole rat.
The naked mole rat. The naked mole
Google
rat.
Google it.
Oh my goodness gracious. Manscaped.com. If you punch in Chingo at checkout, how much percentage they get off, Rob? 20% off Manscaped.com. They got all kind of stuff, man. The weed whacker. It's cordless. It's rechargeable. Waterproof. You know, you can take it in that shower with your big dog. You know what I'm talking about?
A little off the top.
High and tight on the sides.
You know what I'm saying?
Leave the sideburn on there for you.
Get you a bald taper for your balls.
Yeah,
man,
you know what I'm talking about? Get a south side fade.
You know what? Put on some Outkast, So Fresh and So Clean, go to town.
Lord have mercy.
You know what I'm saying? 20% off, take 100% off.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Manscaped, they just got the bonus shout out right there with Javi Luna. Also, man, big shout out to Tehuacan. We got the Tehuacan mineral water in the house. They're showing love. Pie tequila. I had this last night. Well, we had this last night. Juan came over last night, man. My sister-in-law, who's also single, came over last night. So it was like a rom-com. They didn't know we were trying to set them up.
No.
But we busted out some pie tequila, and it was delicious. I slept amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah, so let's set it off, man. We got special guests in the building, man. We got that boy T in the house. What's up, Big Dog?
Good, man. Good to be back. Good
man, wait till y'all hear the songs we have under construction. We got some stuff in the vault.
We got some heat, man.
Yeah, we're gonna let Juan Perez be the judge. We'll let him jam out, see what he thinks. What's up, man? We got Juan Perez in the building.
Put it on the gym playlist.
We got producer Big Rob in the back. What's up, Big Dom? With no camera, dog.
No camera, Rob.
Yeah, he's humble like that, bro.
Hit the GoFundMe, get Rob a camera.
Yeah, he's humble like that, man.
Get the producer cam.
He's like, what? I get to produce today? Hell yeah. No, just produce?
He's humble like that,
man. He's killing it.
So how was everybody's Valentine's, man?
I was working, man.
Oh, yeah. How was the show?
Did the show in Corpus. It was fun. I had some podcast listeners come out both on Saturday.
What did he say, folks?
What did he say? Shout out Justin, listener. The podcast came out to the show on Saturday and had a couple people that saw me with you a couple weeks ago, or it was just last week.
Yeah.
In Corpus, they came back last night for the show and it was great. It was it was fun. It was hard, man. We was going through some personal stuff. A friend of mine passed away right before the show.
Damn, man.
Yeah, 30 minutes before, but you know what? He had to mess with me a little bit. The mic went out during my show. Cause apparently Marlon Wayans had like been there like a couple weeks before us and like did some type of helicopter shit with the microphone, and instead of replacing the cable it decided to go out in the middle of my set, and so the speakers start popping in the middle of the first one, it sounded like someone was shooting. Right, so I kind of made it, like at first was like, let me assess the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Once I realized it was the microphone popping, then I, you know, had to kind of run with it. So I ended up doing the show without a mic for about 10 minutes.
No shit.
Until they were able to run a new camera.
Was that at the downtown?
That was at the south side where we were at.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun.
So they had to go run and get another cable?
They had to go run and get a whole, because it wasn't the mic. It was the cable.
The cable.
Had become frayed. So they had to go run a whole other cable for that mic. find the cable and run it. And so, so I did about 10 minutes of my show just acapella in that big ass room.
Hey,
so,
hey.
That's a professional.
Professional.
Right there. But it worked.
Professional.
It worked,
and Javi Luna be helping other Latino comedians.
You know what I'm saying? I had another Latino comic. Have you helped a Latino comic today, Chingo?
In the arms of.
For just 76 cents a day, you can help a Latino comic. These young, poor kids that don't know how to, barely know how to speak English.
Barely can speak English.
Don't know how to navigate the entertainment industry for themselves.
Don't know how to read a template.
You can put them on. You can. You can buy them an Emilio Zapata t-shirt and everything else that they need to be a successful
Emiliano Zapata. we covered that everybody right now is clout chasing and getting their views up from the George Lopez situation. Everybody got a hot take. Did you hear about that, bro?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, we did a podcast.
Everybody don't heard about that shit.
Yeah.
But we heard the entire thing.
The conversation was, whatever it was, and he showed his ass. My thing is like everybody chiming in that wasn't part of the conversation. It's whatever. Like even like you got like open micers be like, hey, we need to do, but hey, man, like. This is not what you should be putting your energy and focusing on posting about the George Lopez, Ralph Barboza fucking
fiasco.
You know what I'm saying? You need to be fucking writing and fucking going to open mics like that. You're not going to get nowhere because George Lopez didn't put you on a show. You're not going to get anywhere because you focus on the wrong shit all the time.
Ralph's probably like, hell yeah, man. More numbers.
Oh, no. It's great for those guys. Yeah. Believe me. There's... Even though you're not hearing, there's as many people that fucking are siding with George as Rob. George ain't gonna lose no tickets off of this.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? The people that like him for what he does, and they're like, okay, fucking, he's an asshole. He don't want to help no one. Oh well, I still think his jokes are funny.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about him is his politics. That's it.
Well, you know,
that's it. I ain't got no problem with him otherwise.
Yeah,
you know.
It's what it is. But Tisha's like, yeah, man.
I really want to say I'm trying to hold it in. So,
hey, T's about to set it off into the rapper world. Like, first of all, there's a lot of big rappers out there. In this room.
I mean, hey, Ralph's the homie. You know what I mean? Like, before he came out here to H-Town, he reached out. He was like, yo, pull up to the show, whatever. And this was before all that went on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think regardless of the situation, whether he spoke on to him or not, that dude was finna blow up regardless.
Yeah, he was already there.
Was already there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Neither one of them are hurting. His name just got more followers.
Yeah. His name just got threw into this mix.
Yeah, nah, for sure.
It wasn't crossfire.
I mean, I think the dude on that podcast show, what's his name?
Steve?
That brought him up. I don't think he was bringing them up just to
Steve.
Are we allowed to mention other podcasts, bro?
yeah, we know Steve.
Steven. That's our boy too.
Are we allowed to mention other podcasters?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's a bit. I don't think he was throwing it out there at George. Like, say I was doing an interview about rap music or whatever, and they're like, hey, have you heard about so-and-so, which they do all the time. About this upcoming Mexican kid, you know, from so-and-so? Yeah, I heard of him, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to sit here and talk down on the kid that I've never met, never shook his hand, never, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If I see him doing this thing, which I mean, I've given a lot of props to a lot of upcoming Mexican rappers. Back in the day, we did the Latin mic pass. Mm-hmm. If it was on some, I don't want no other Mexican rappers around me to shine, that would have never existed.
There would be
no Mexican mic pass right now. Mm-hmm. That was us bringing everybody on. North side, south side, east side, west side, Mexican. You know, whatever you rep, whatever hood, any of that, we all put that aside. We came together, we did the mic pass, put it out, and it made history. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if it was that type of situation, like, why don't you want to see other Latinos shine?
Hey,
why don't you want to see other Mexicans come up? We all came from the same struggle, you feel me?
What if they ask you about a Mexican rapper that you never heard of, and you're like, nah, I never heard of him. And then they bring him up 10 more times in the interview. At what point you're like, God damn, bro.
I mean, well, that just shows me, like, hey, I need to go look into this kid. Yeah. Do I need to go do a record with him? Do I need to reach out to him? Hey, what's up? You know, whatever. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've done that before. Like, people have mentioned somebody's name and I haven't heard of him, but after the interview's done, I'm going to look him up. And if he's dope, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to shout him, hey, what's up? Let's work. You know, it ain't going to be no hate, no ill will. No, it's all about me, because it ain't all about me. It's about all of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the thing about T, man. T, he's so laid back. Like, T's like positive, shows love, and don't got no hate in his blood.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Man, just because in this rap game in Houston, from my perspective, we always got the short end of the stick. Every time there was rap award shows, every time that we were never included, every time they're writing us up in the Houston Press or the Houston Chronicle or online on these blogs, they never included us. And I was the one that would jump in there and talk mess to these people, these DJ, radio DJ. Oh, don't do that, y'all. They're going to blackball you from the rap. Come on, man. And now I got the respect from the same dudes I was on there talking shit. I got respect from them because I went and stuck my, you know, name, my neck out there and did that to fight for other Latinos. Now, every single show that the radio station is doing, there's Mexican artists all over it. They're playing our music now. They're writing us up in the blogs. They're putting us on the podcast. They're, you know, everything. So if that would have never happened, you never know what history would today would be like. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think we kind of like laid the foundation for all that. And that's the complete opposite of what, you know, is going on over there. And that, you know, I don't know nothing about the comedy world, but that just soft. That's like, to me, that's like soft, that's mostly weak, bro. That's soft, weak.
Especially compared, that's why I'm upset. Because
The rap should be soft too. But go on.
Comedy beef and rap beef are still two different worlds. Yeah, I mean, in a rap beef, you can still end up on a t-shirt. Yeah. Like in a comedy beef,
it might have a little. It might be a little bit of danger sometimes.
You know what I'm saying? In the comedy, the most you're gonna end up on a fucking meme. You know, you're gonna end up fucking being talked about on every podcast for the next 2 weeks.
That's it.
Come on, fucking comedy beef. Move the fuck on.
Well, let's talk about this, though, because it's like a parallel. Right now, there's this same thing. You got a lot of clout chasing podcasts. Everybody's making hot takes on the king of Chicano rap. Everybody, they all fighting over this title. You had, I guess it's like King Lil G, Conejo, Little Rob, and they're just all kind of like, it's mainly King Lil G, like, kind of like every trying to see who wants smoke. But like, Conejo was like an OG about it. Like, hey, young man, you can have that. You know what I'm saying? That's all you,
Kenfo. It don't matter. Because the real ones, no, it don't matter.
You know.
No title, whatever. Put any list that comes out, that's someone's
opinion. And you know what? And I'm going to say this, bro. Like, I feel like one thing that's messing up the a lot of the stuff in the Mexican rapper lane, which is a fucked up box to put yourself in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you instantly gonna get compared to people just because y'all from the same state or the same color, or they gonna be like running up on people that don't know shit about SPM situation. Be like, what's up with SPM, motherfucker? I don't know. You know what I mean? But with that being said, I feel like one thing that really messes up everything in the Latin rap world is, for one, you got a whole bunch of people still trying to fill SPM shoes. They like when Pimp C said y'all shit fell off because they was biting too much pot. Like, you got a whole bunch of wannabe SPMs running around still. That man been locked up for like probably 20 something years, and they still trying to figure out,
trying to be somebody else.
That's how I see it. I don't know.
No, I get. Yeah, at some point you got to move from, okay, this person inspired me to and whatever, to okay, well, what. But who are you as an artist? What are you gonna do? Yeah. It's different. You can't, if you're just constantly chasing, like, I'm trying to be the next XYZ. I mean, you ain't going nowhere. I mean, other than to be a cheaper version of whatever it is you're trying to be.
That's the plot to Rockstar.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
That Rockstar?
Yeah, wasn't that the movie with Mark Wahlberg? What was that called?
Yeah, and I know the movie. The that was the plot to it.
Rockstar? Yeah.
Where he was
the guy. Oh, right. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I gotta take a piss.
Yeah, yeah. He won. Yeah, he was a tribute act.
Oh.
And then he ended up getting the actual gig in the band. And then he's like, but I'm not creating anything. I'm literally just impersonating someone else.
And let me add this too, man. One thing that people, I feel like the fans and the average person doesn't really understand is how the algorithm works and how that shit could get you in some hot water. Meaning, like, for example, this King of Chicano rap title that some people are wanting to fight over or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, the algorithm likes that shit because it gets clicks, right? It's clickbait, so they generate money for advertisers or whatever. So don't let the algorithm get you in some hot water where, like, bitch, where shit just starts to escalate, and then they splice context out, or you say something somewhere, and don't nobody want to hear the 30 seconds before and the 30 seconds after, or when you say no disrespect, but, you know, they that out.
Yeah, well, even the Lopez thing, that was what, like, not even a 2-minute clip out of that thing was like 2 hours long or something?
Yeah, it was
like
a 2.5 hour
podcast. 2.5 hour podcast, a 2-minute clip.
They cut out all the parts of, like, no disrespect.
Go back, do yourself a favor. Go back, I haven't even done it, because I don't care. But if you care, if you're out there chiming in on this shit, go watch the whole thing.
Yeah, no, they don't. They just want to.
There was a way that he got so he was clearly frustrated, and I'm not defending the guy. I do think the guy's an asshole. Okay, but
and his politics suck.
But he was clearly flustered in that situation. Go watch how he got to that level of frustration, and see if you feel exactly the same way, or if you think like, you know,
or you might walk away with like. Damn, sounded like he was trying to help the guest, and you know what I mean? Like, whoever was listening might have gained something. And right. Wow, you might get to see the human side of the people.
Things aren't always as they seem. Look into it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you know real saying? Shit. But like I was saying about the algorithm, man, like, right now, that shit is running everything, and people don't know that they're feeding it. They're trying to, like, monetize off of it. In a way, we are, too, in terms of, like, you know, hey, we have several podcasts. You know what I'm saying? We want the algorithm to put us out there so people can see us and we could grow the fan base and sell more tickets and everything else. But, like, folks got to really understand how that shit works. Especially, I'll give you the best example. Best example right here. All right.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When Takeoff got killed in Houston while he was hanging out with the Prince family, J. Prince Jr. and I think Jazz, right? Well, you know, the Prince family, in the process of the algorithm feeding the thumbnail and the clickbait, it's turning into new evidence exposed. Find out how we know they checked in. You know, they checked in, but they didn't have protection. It was a setup. It was a robbery. They're like, dice game gone wrong. Everybody's fucking sticking their cuchara in the way. Meanwhile, you're dragging the Prince family name in the dirt, alleging a lot of shit that ain't even really fucking true. They're like, what? Check in. That was our friend. Ain't nobody extorting nobody. They're like, y'all don't even have enough money for that to even be a business plan for us. Like, extort people, artists? Artists? You know what I'm saying? Like, check in. But anyway, I'd hate to for that shit to escalate or anybody to get hurt over the fucking Google's algorithm. The Google CEOs are in no danger. Like, the people that run YouTube, they hop in their Tesla and they go to their home in San Francisco. They don't have to wash their back or have their name dragged in the mud. So, I know that got real deep right there.
It's all good. It's all good. Hey, leave your comment, though. Let us know
in the comments section.
Because we're trying to feed the algorithm, too.
Yeah, we're trying to feed the algorithm. So, please. Clips are coming, okay?
What I'm trying to say is, we cool with the Prince family. You know, and rest in peace, Takeoff, man. It don't got to be all that fucking accusations and name calling and shit. But T, man, shit, when we dropping this project, Big Don?
Man, ASAP.
Dude, I was in the studio with Mexican OT and Gold Soul from that song. First of all, I had woke up early that day. We were staying in the country, like Kingsville. Drove into Corpus that morning.
45 minutes away.
Yeah, so we drove into Corpus that morning, probably got coffee, breakfast. Then I had a jiu-jitsu class at 11. Long story short, it was like a long fucking day. I did two shows at Mesquite Street Comedy Club. And then afterwards, after we finish, get paid out and everything, afterwards, we're like, we're headed to the studio. But you got to add a little bit of tequila into the mix. Shout out to Pie Tequila. A little bit of shrooms and the chocolate. Next thing you know, you're in the studio and it's just like, fuck, man, what are we doing? Is this the beat? Like, who are we writing to? Who goes first? Is there a hook? Like, it got a little fucking hectic. Next thing you know, Mexican OT, he's in there. He got the backwoods. Next thing you know, his shirt is off. it was literally like hanging with like me and some of my friends 15 years ago. Where I'm just like, I just came out of a time machine. Like, fuck, bro. Like, slow down, man. Like, but that was us. You know, T remembers, man. We had that house off of Woodridge, and it was just, you know, a little house, and every room was something. Either we burning CDs over there, or we recording music in here. And can you tell people a little bit about that golden era when there was a thing called record stores?
Yeah, mixtapes.
can you tell the listeners, man? Because some people don't even know what a CD is.
Selling out the trunk. Now, my son asked me what MTV is.
Damn.
Hey, no cap. I had on a shirt, you know, just like with the MTV.
How old is he?
There.
How old is he?
He's 8 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's young enough, but he looked at me and he was like, Dad, what's MTV? And I'm like, it used to play music videos back in the day.
You flipped the table.
But it kind of made me feel a little bit old. But I mean, it just goes to like, bro, we went from Napster to MySpace to Twitter to, you know, everything that came along the way. And even like to these days, like CDs, like a lot of people don't even have a CD player in their car now. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like cars don't mm-hmm. even make CD players no more.
Ain't that a bitch?
So, I mean, it's somewhere sitting with A-Tracks now, mm-hmm. if people know what A-Track is. But yeah, so we would have to go sit there hand in hand and one by one pressing up these CDs, which like you had a room in your office. Mm-hmm. We had to have a room with stacks of burners everywhere. And we popping in the CDs and we burning them all day to make, you know, 1,000 copies to go hand out at the car show or at the club or, you know, wherever we going that night.
That was our podcast back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. And even with the T-shirts, like we had the press in there, print up our own T-shirts, our own CDs, go print up some posters and then hit the road and just, you know, one by one sell them when you actually go meet the people and touch them and, hey, check out my record. I'm so-and-so. I'm from, you know, whatever. Now they just jump on their phone and, you know, it's all given to them.
Man, I remember one time it was a car show. Was it like Dub Magazine? It was like a car show in Dallas. And I think I had like my daughter and my mom with me or something. I was like, man, let's go hit this little car show real quick and get a booth and, you know, slang some of this shit. And boy, T had like actual cars in his booth. It was like a fucking retail car display. It was like candy paint, candy store. And it was just like a shit ton of people. I was like, God damn, boy, T doing his thing out here, boy. I was like, T, remember me? T. I'm like jumping over people. Hey, get in line, son. T.
Yeah. Hey, that was a crazy year. That was like one of the biggest years I've ever had to turn out to my booth of me showing up to the car show, whatever. I had my car parked in there with the swingers and everything. I think Bash pulled up. A lot of people didn't even know Bash was sitting inside of my car the whole time. Like,
yeah. Hiding? What the fuck?
Yeah, no, he was smoking. Oh, so, okay. Yeah, he was like, what's up? Can I jump? Because, you know, the
nephew.
Security was walking
Let
around.
Let me hop in here real quick, nephew.
So I was like, hey, bro, my car is right here. Jump in the whip. So he in the whip. I think at the end, he put the window down. All the smoke came out and everybody seen him.
It was like an Easter egg. Like, oh my God, Bash was here the entire time.
Yeah, but the it was just the turnout was crazy. I think I took pictures from I don't know how many hours, but the car show was over already. The security guard like had to kick people out from the booth. And I'm like, yo, we still taking pictures. He's like, nah, y'all got to go. But I try to just get every single picture. And then I think right after that, I think that's when we chopped it up and we're like, yo, you know, we got to go hit the road, dude,
we did a three city tour with Cap G because Cap G hadn't really touched the Texas market yet. Now he's been here a gazillion times. Now he has his own network, knows a bunch of people. But like we did like some small venue in Austin. Where else? Fort Worth?
We did, I think we did like Dallas, San Antonio, Austin.
Probably just those three.
And there might have been one more. There might have been, but all the shows were crazy. Like it had a crazy turnout. Like, and this was all doing, like, bro, we did a whole tour off of freestyle on a mixtape track.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We put together Peso. All I want is Peso. I think that's what it was. Something like that. Is that what we said on the song?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
And we did a whole tour off that.
And you know what? What really facilitated that was the advent of Eventbrite. Because for the first time, you're able to be the promoter and cut out all these extra people that are just offering you a flat rate. You know what I'm saying? Where they're like, hey, how much are you going to be to bring you, Cap G, and that boy T? It's like, well, good luck. Yeah. You know, that might be a little tricky. Like, because you're going to, you know, you want to make some money too. And, you know, you're doing all your math and calculations. But when it was us putting it together, and like Cap was so new and so young, and like he was with his brothers and stuff, we were literally like kind of explaining and showing them, like, hey, dude, where your merch at? You know, like, you know, you can put your merch right here. Like, oh man, you know, the brothers are there and shit. Like, hey man, where the merch at? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got double dip, bro. It's a triple dip, quadruple dip. Okay. But that was lit.
You gotta get your tequila sponsor.
Got, you know what I'm saying? That's the quadruple dip right there. Shout out to Pie Tequila. It was delicious on Valentine's. I slept good.
Take the shot.
Take the shot, hey. Take the shot. So yeah, man. So Valentine's.
And then, do you have a Valentine's one?
No. He came over.
That's what he said. He was trying to sit you.
C4 is his Valentine.
Bro, I had a trifecta just right now. I just took all three.
All three what?
I did the focus one. I did the
you drank three C4s.
Triple dip.
Yeah.
You just drank three C4s.
I quadruple dip because I took the psychotic.
Wait, all three?
I took the psychotic earlier this morning when I worked out. So I'm on it right now, dude. I'm just like,
bro, that's a lot.
I'm zeroed in right now.
He said he's on a thousand milligrams.
Hey man, if you ever need security on the road, Juan will run through a wall. If you tell him there's C4 on the other side of that wall,
you need to drive across country. I'm there. I'll be the driver. What's up?
Hey, if you got a show in Phoenix tomorrow, he'll be like, "Let's leave right now.
Let's go.
I'm ready."
You can make it actually. 15 hours. I've done that.
He's done that.
So show wise, man, what you got planned for this year? How you gonna attack? Like what markets or how you? You know what I'm saying? What's all on the horizon?
I got a couple shows coming up. I got Dallas coming up. I got a tour in New Mexico coming up. You know, just little shows. I got some stuff in Kansas I'm doing. So it's not really like before this COVID, you know, stuff changed everything. Like my schedule, like January, I'd be like, okay, I'll be here in January, February, March, like my whole schedule. Now it's just like, you know, because I feel like so many of these promoters and clubs and stuff that I was dealing with in the past, a lot of them fell off. Like the clubs closed down and, you know, now they doing the other stuff. They got regular jobs now or whatever. So, and then now a lot of times I'm just doing it myself. Like I just go rent out a venue myself or I just go do a pop-up at a homie store, you know, clothing store, music store, whatever, and just pop up and do my own thing. So
how did that affect, how did the pandemic affect the rap game? Because like I know for comedy, it like changed in a way where it was like all of a sudden like guys you never heard of started popping off because of social media because that's where they got big.
Right.
And so now they're touring all over now. Yeah. And so did that happen?
I mean, I think it was similar because during that, you know, when everything kind of died down as far as public, you know, performances or appearances, whatever. That's when people went hard on the internet. They were sitting at home. They ain't have nothing to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have a camera and a microphone and, you know, a tripod with a light on it, I mean, the world is yours. So I think people took advantage of that during COVID and created a whole bunch of new, you know, like the TikTok era kind of, you know, really blew up then because everybody was sitting at home. But even like I would say like music sales for me kind of went up because people were sitting at home. Now they're listening to music. Now they're on YouTube watching the videos. Now they're, you know, stuff like that. So it was kind of like, you know, I kind of took a loss here, but, you know, kind of came back over here. So, you know, kind of balanced out. And I've never been one to just, oh, no, COVID. Oh, what do I do now? Like, no, I'm going to find a way. I recorded a whole album during COVID. You know what I mean? Oh, so, yeah, like I just kept it moving. So
just. And make sure y'all check out That Boy T on YouTube because all the videos, man, like big numbers on all of them. What's your YouTube channel called?
It's That Boy T. It's That Boy T across everything. So
ITZ.
Yeah, ITZ, That Boy T.
It's That Boy T. For shiggity. We fuck around have to do like a music and comedy event.
There you go. They go together, dope, man.
Yeah, they do really go together.
They could, especially with like the right venue where, like, how would you see that? Like a standing room?
Yeah, I mean the comedy's got to go first for sure. Mm-hmm. Like I don't,
it's hard to follow.
Yeah,
music.
We can't have everyone hype and then be like, okay, hey
now shut funny up,
and we're gonna talk.
Follow that, okay?
You know, it's just that. So I think definitely like a show followed by like a concert probably probably works
Jim Brewer style
the best. We did when I was on Latin Comedy Jam. We did a couple shows with DJ Kane, and that's how we did it. Like it was a show, and then he did like a little 3-song concert at the end. You know
what market was that?
We did Wild Horse Pass Casino in Phoenix. Oh. Really nice theater out there at that casino.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, what does Jim Brewer do?
Jim Brewer was doing that for Metallica. And he was their guy.
But he was opening up for Metallica.
He was opening up for him, getting into it. And then sometimes he would even go on stage and start singing some of the songs with them. Like, it was like, it got real hype. And that would actually work to your favor, because if you did both, it'd be dope. Because then you could do your hour and you could sit out for a while. And then if you decide, oh, you know what, let me do a couple songs, I feel it today. And you just jump on, that would work to your advantage, actually.
We were going to have the guys perform after me. In Corpus, but one of the dudes went out to LA and shit and started kicking it with Jenny 6ix9ine and all this other crazy shit. But we shall see, man. Might be interesting to mix.
We look into it.
You got some shows coming up, huh?
Yeah, man. So I'm going to be on the Kenan Thompson is sponsoring a nationwide comedy contest. And so I was one of the chosen performers for that. So I'm going to go out there and drop a hot 3-minute set. I haven't done a 3-minute set.
The hot three.
And I don't know how long. So we're going to see how I do. But it's a lot of really good Texas comics on it. So it should be fun. That's going to be on the 22nd in San Antonio at Upstage Comedy Lounge, where I will be actually headlining. So come see me do 3 minutes, and then come see me do an hour plus on Cinco de Mayo at Upstage Comedy Lounge in San Antonio.
That's what George Lopez should do. He should be like, I know I haven't been the most instrumental to a lot of up-and-coming talent, but moving forward, like, you know, be what I'm saying? Like Simon Cowell, and do like a Star Search. Well, you're probably too young to remember Star Search, but a talent search. He don't be knowing shit, and he don't have a mic either, so he can't defend himself.
Right. Oh, you don't even have a mic?
No.
Man, we got to get on that. GoFundMe Rob, guys. He needs a mic and a camera. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Fund us.
But
go fund Rob.
George should do that. He should be like, I know I haven't been the most helpful, but I'm, you know, I'm going out city to city. You know, like Kevin Hart had Heart of the City.
Come do your hot 3 minutes.
I mean, why not? From a producer,
that's how you spin it. Like, lean into it. Like, okay, y'all saying I'm selfish. Mm-hmm. Watch what I'm about to do. Let me fucking put take that energy.
On. I'm gonna give them a walk on roll on whatever.
Yeah,
hey, you be do like, whatever the prize. This one for this contest, it's not even a. I mean, like, you get to go to. They fly you out to, if you win your region or whatever. They fly you out to New York. I think you do a showcase show somewhere at some club in New York. That's cool. And then you get to go watch a taping of SNL. It's not really, the prize ain't anything that's going to put you on, but
it's that credit.
It's cool. Like look at this cool little thing that I did. And, you know, plus from a producing standpoint, I mean, they get to produce something like 20-something shows at comedy clubs where all these, you know, amateur comics are going to bring their buddies and make them buy tickets to come support them. It's not a bad way to, if you're, you know.
On the cool, it should be like, we could do a music one. Mm-hmm. Like, me, T, and someone else join forces.
The talent search.
You know what I'm saying? And like, up-and-coming talent. And like, hey, bro, like, you could turn it into content, number one. So you could, like, film it, have, like, a YouTube channel for it. And, like, but, like, with a lot of, like, for example, there's a clip that Bo Bundy did where they asked him, like, hey, what's it like working with Chingo? How'd you meet Chingo? He remembered every fucking detail, which was amazing. He was like, then he told me this, and then he said that. And one of the things he said that I told him was, like, hey, man, when you up there on stage, bro, like, easy on the cussing. I was really telling him that because it was like a family type of event. It was the Chingo de Mayo. And basically, like, on some feedback shit, because I saw him perform, I was like, hey, man, like, I could tell you're doing your thing, but just sometimes be mindful in case you in a situation where all the cussing ain't going to serve you type of thing. But anyway, he like, remembered everything.
Right.
And, but like, just from my experience and stuff, sometimes with artists, like you ever be in that situation, T, where like you see somebody either perform or you hear their verse or a song or something, and you just be thinking like, man, these motherfuckers are good. They popping. But man, if you'd have just, you know what I'm saying?
Just give them like some constructive criticism.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people can take it, but a lot of people can't. You know what I mean? And really, at the end of the day, you're just trying to help them out. Because, you know, I mean, to me, like, I could say, just sit here and all day and say my raps are the greatest in the world. You know what I mean? But I, at the end of the day, I know they're not. And I know that sometimes I like sitting in the studio and have other creative people around me, because if I'm spitting some or, you know, whatever, recording, I want your input, or I want their input, or I want the engineer to,
feedback.
Nah, say that instead of doing it this way, do it this
try
way.
Try like this. One more time.
And once I open myself to that, because first I was like, bro, you tripping. My shit hard. I ain't changing nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
We going to run it the way it is.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm.